AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bond. Good morning. It's Friday, July the 11th. And you know, when you try to do a good turn for somebody, sometimes it doesn't work. So, right now our computers are reloading everything that in a quick break. So we're trying to break them down out of that. So kind of bear with us when it comes to commercials. The rest of the show, we're here. 7:06 in the morning, 605-4567 is our phone number. And we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Good morning. Let's go to our Wells Fargo advisor, Susan Eastman. Good morning, Susan. What kind of day are you having?
Good morning. Well, major averages are mixed in early trading. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 42 points, 16,874. The S&P 500 is off 3 points at 1961. And the NASDAQ Composite is positive 3 points at 4,399. Active stocks this morning, Alcoa up 9 cents at 1571. Oracle positive 6 cents, trading at 4038. Pfizer off 14 cents at 29.86. For local stocks of interest, PG&E up 8 cents at 47.27. PepsiCo positive a penny at 90.10. Bank of Commerce down 3 cents at $6.34. Turning to the bond department, the 10-year Treasury note is priced to yield 2.52% and the 30-year bond 3.35. For commodities, gold is down $2 an ounce at $13.37. Silver off 3 cents at $21. And crude oil down 92 cents, trading at $101 a barrel. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
Hey, Susan, thanks a lot. We've had our Wells Fargo Advisors on Monday through Friday at 7:06, 8:06, and 9:06 in the morning right here on KCNR. If you're looking for a way to achieve financial freedom or somebody to look at your investments or somebody to help you with your investments, give them a call at 243-7561, our Wells Fargo Advisors located on Park Marina Drive. Good morning, Linda.
Well, good morning, everyone. So glad to be here. We're going to have our Pet of the Week on this morning, as well as going to be giving tickets away for some Go Get Spencer. Please do. Partly sunny today with temperatures going to be around 95. Isn't it? Don't you just love Mother Nature? Wake up this morning and what do you get to see? The rain. Fabulous. To smell the earth being dampened is a fabulous thing. So it looks like it is going to be mostly clear tonight, but there is a red flag warning till 11 a.m. today with 30% chance of rain, and there it is. The weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where our customers are warm friends. Locally owned and operated, they give senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call, 365-3793. And while we're at it, we do want to do a shout-out to our morning news guy, Bob Martin, to get better. We pray for his wellness, and, so we've got... You know, this morning, like we're saying, we've got some computer glitches. Some things are off with time. So bear with us as we go in and out of breaks. And right now, we are very excited to have Spencer with us this morning, as we always have our Friday morning with our Pet of the Week. Good morning, Spencer.
Good morning.
But before you start, Spencer has a buzz cut. That's the last time I saw something like that was at boot camp in Paris Island. So how did you get that and why?
Well, I did my hair really, really weird for 4th of July. And I did it white with blue tips, and I came into work on Monday, and our COO looked at it, and she said, yeah, you can't come to work like that tomorrow.
<Aww. laughs>
So I went home, and I shaved it all off.
Well, I thought maybe it would have been for the 4th of July, yes, but perhaps you were one of the fanatics for World Cup, and you had to, do part of paintage of your body, so let's do hair.
You have got just a... I mean, look at this. Look at your
dog.
We
have another.
What is?
Who's here this morning?
This is Charlotte. She is a one-year-old Shar-Pei Bulldog mix. That's where she gets the real wrinkly face from. She was actually, I brought her with me this morning because she was one of our Camp Love a Pet dogs.
Oh, I wondered.
So she is one of, I believe there's only one other one that's left at our shelter available for adoption.
She's beautiful.
Everybody else was already adopted.
She's laid on the ground.
Oh, yeah. She's been wagging her
let's
tail.
Let's describe her. She is black and white with a pink nose. Is that right?
Yes.
And she's got little spots around her eyes.
And on her ears.
In her ears. And how old is she?
She's about a year old.
And how big is she?
She, I would say maybe weighs 50 pounds.
And she is just, everybody comes by, she wants to just lick their fingers.
Yeah.
It, she's like a big puppy. You know, she's only a year old, so she's still full of energy, you know, and full of spunk.
But and she also, she's trained.
But she also knows how to calm down. Like right now, she's laying on your floor, just sniffing my shoe, just happy and content to just be laying there surrounded by people. The Camp Love a Pet training has done some wonders for her. Before she did the training, you know, she was a typical untrained dog, jumping all over, pulling on a leash, didn't know any of her basic commands. She went through 2 weeks of training with a child between the ages of 10 and 15, and I personally didn't meet the camper that trained her, but boy, did they do a great job. She now knows all of her basic commands. She even knows shake, which is awesome. That's an extra little trick she knows. And she walks great on a leash, loads right up into cars. She knows how to mellow down now, so she's not always bouncing.
Does she get a beer out of the refrigerator for you?
No, you know, but she, I've looked that up online. It's actually really, really easy to train a dog to do that, especially one as highly treat-motivated as Charlotte.
Is it really? So what do they do? They just have to go over and, like, hit the door, and the door opens, and then just reach in and grab something.
You tie a towel to the door.
Tie a towel to the door?
That way they have something to grab a hold of.
And they open the door, they reach in, they grab the bottle, trot back with you, and you give them a little treat.
Yes.
And then you know what you do is instead of a dog collar, you've got like a beer can or beer bottle opener around its neck. So you just kind of...
How do you do that for a man?
How do you do it for a woman? Oh, you don't. You just,
oh, shit.
What a great looking dog. Okay, what do you have her graduated or what do you have her graded with? I mean,
we have her rated for a home with kids 5 and older, and you know I'm sure that because she went through our Camp Love a Pet training, I'm sure if we re-temperament test her, she would even go down from there. She was just when she first came in, she was a young pup with very little to no training, so she was just kind of all over the place. She'd jump up on you, but she doesn't do that anymore because she's gone through the 2 weeks of training, and it's just transformed her into a great family dog ready to go to a new forever home.
Sharpei Bulldog. Okay, well, this is our Haven Humane Moment Friday.
Adorable dog, black and white, and just cute. I'm sorry.
I hope you send pictures to us so we can put them on our website. That's great. And we want you to go in and see Charlotte today. What are your hours of operation and the phone number?
Our phone number is 241-1653. We start answering the phones at 8:30. We're open to view the animals from 11 to 5.
Fantastic. Well, Spencer, thank you so much always for bringing Pet of the Week. I know you're doing your rounds, and we love it. We're bouncing at about 100% right here.
Yes, we are.
With adoption of those pets. And we know that if you're looking for a certain pet, why not get a pet of Camp Love a Pet?
Absolutely. And I also want to throw out there, too, we don't only just do dogs and cats. Currently, we have guinea pigs, rats, and we even have a ball python available for adoption.
Okay, I saw your guinea pigs, and one's like a bright orange.
Yes, yeah, we've got two orange ones, one white one.
I saw a question that said, is there, do guinea pigs get along if you introduce new guinea pigs into where there's been just one?
Yes, guinea pigs actually do better in pairs than separate.
Okay. Well, Spencer, thanks a lot, as usual. What a great-looking dog. And please give Spencer a call down at the Haven Humane. It's got like a little – you know what? If you ever remember the old Our Gang comedies and the dog that had the big black spot around its eye, that's kind of what it looks like.
She does have a spot around her one eye.
She has her spot around her one eye. And she's got pink, and she's got pink, you know, ears are pink, and her little nose is pink. I mean, it's just she's just a really sweet dog.
Black nose.
It's a black nose. Well, but it's funny because it's black.
It's like a spot.
It's a spot with the black nose and then kind of pink around it. Okay. So she's really got, you could spend hours looking at the markings on this dog. Charlotte is her name. And I've always, my preference is I like female dogs. So I don't know. I know some people like male dogs. I've had male dogs before, but I think females have a sweeter disposition. I don't know. But she's just really – now she's sitting down. She's very good. She's waiting for a command, I think.
She's waiting for Spencer's
– treat.
Spencer's got his breakfast sitting there.
Yeah, and she's been eyeballing it since it came out of the microwave.
But she didn't once come over and put her face on the table and just like try to lick it.
Nope, she's being very well behaved.
Elk Killer would have been in your lap and on it and by now. Okay, thanks a lot.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, all right. Okay, we got a couple other things. Hey, how'd you sleep last night?
Oh, wonderful. Actually, I woke up at 5:06. I think we actually turned the lights off at 11, and I did not wake up the entire night. I don't even know if I may have turned a few times, but, and so we need to do that. We're going to be doing that IQ, sleep IQ, which is a new sleep number technique where they come in and you already have, where you have your dual air technique. It's something that goes underneath the bed, so it's not unsightly. And it's a chip or some kind of thing that you put in there, and it will be able to give, and you log it in somehow with your computer.
We log it in on, and so we have an app, and what it does is just measures how we sleep, and it gives us feedback.
Yeah, so we know, I don't know if it, I guess it can tell you how you can get better sleep, like maybe if you use this number, you would get a deeper sleep, but anyway.
Yeah, but what, you know, when you sleep well already, my sleep number setting, of course, is 40 now.
And mine's 45.
Working my way up to 45. Mm-hmm. But okay, how do you find this? How do you find the technology? How do you get to a great night's sleep? And how do you find a mattress that's rated number one by Consumer Reports, made in America, and it's got guarantees? You head on down to the Sleep Number store in the Target Shopping Center. Head on down and see Brian or Janice, and they're going to show you what your sleep number setting is. They're going to explain the whole enchilada to you. Sleep Number. Okay. We have, gosh, we have a lot of things going. We have Riverview. We've got Patrick Jones, city councilman, is going to come here for a few minutes. We want to talk, of course, about some things in the news. And then we have Carol Ferguson, who's coming in, the managing editor of Record Searchlight. Plus, we're getting ready to give away tickets.
Yeah. We have the folks in the Riverfront Playhouse out front.
People out in the Riverfront Playhouse.
We're going to squeeze them in this morning so we can talk about that and give tickets away for the Dixie Swim Club.
So are we about ready to take a break? In 30 seconds, we'll be ready to take a break.
We also have...
What happened was is that last week we reprogrammed the whole computer. Bob Martin did. And Bob Martin for the 4th of July. Well, Bob was going to reprogram it back, but is now laid up and couldn't. So we're in the process of reprogramming the computer. But nobody was told about this till yesterday afternoon. So we're doing it on the fly. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl and the Bot, KCNR 1460.
Biscuits. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next.
Not available in California.
Do you have startup capital and are looking to invest in a booming health-based business? Here's your opportunity. We're looking for business-savvy people in this area to become franchise owners of Fresh Healthy Vending Machines. Fresh Healthy Vending Machines sell exactly what America wants. Healthy, natural, organic snacks. We've identified prime vending machine locations in this area, and we place your machines for you so you can capitalize on this huge demand. For free owner information, visit readyforfresh.com now and enter code 5151. That's readyforfresh.com, code 5151.
I was in Dallas the other day, had a hankering for some sweet tea and a buttermilk biscuit. So you can imagine my surprise when I discovered the restaurant I was at served neither sweet tea nor biscuits. I thought that sort of thing was against the law in the Lone Star State. That's almost as bad as Nashville's Opryland Hotel serving tuna tartare and seaweed salad, right smack in the middle of catfish and hush puppy country. Or that diner I went to in Asheville, North Carolina, barbecuing tofu. Well, I take that back. Nothing's worse than tofu. Jeezaloo, America. Serving up stuff like that's a good way to lose your southern street cred. As I considered my culinary options, the waitress suggested I try a bran muffin with something called flax seed. A fine way to start the day, I'm sure. If you happen to be a constipated bird, I'm Todd Starnes.
Better health means better business. Adamson's Peak Performance now offers businesses a variety of services aimed at making your employees healthier, fitter, and more productive. Our corporate wellness services include corporate membership rates, group personal training, discount personal training rates, fitness lectures and motivational talks, as well as customized corporate wellness plans. To schedule a corporate wellness consultation with Eric or to learn more, call us at 221-8006 or visit adamsonspeakperformance.com.
Any way you want it, that's the way you need it. Any way you want it.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 7:20 in the morning, July the 11th. 70 degrees out there. We actually had rain on me. Raindrops falling on my head today when I was taking Elk Killer out. This portion of the show is brought to you by our friends from Orchard Nutrition. Just walking into the place makes you feel healthier in the Orchard Nutrition. Located in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, in-store deli, the largest selection of natural foods and supplements in Northern California. Your center for a healthy lifestyle. What else can I say except that Joe offers everything there that you could possibly need or want to live healthy, including classes in the evening and 4 nutritionists on the staff to help you for free. That's Orchard Nutrition. All right. We have...
Good morning, and we have the director and some of the cast members from the Dixie Swim Club at the Riverfront Playhouse. Good morning, gals.
Good morning.
All right, so let's go around and find out who's here and what your role is. Starting to my right.
I'm Jennifer Levins. I'm the director of the Dixie Swim Club.
I'm Phoebe Fazio. I play Cherie Hollinger, the captain of the swim club.
I'm Laura Christensen, and I play Bernadette Sims from Spivey's Corner, North Carolina.
Oh, we love the North Carolina. So we've got tickets to give away. Let's talk about the storyline of the Dixie Swim Club.
It's about 5 women who were on a championship college swim team, and they were so meshed together that they decided to meet every year, and we meet them in the 22nd year of their going to the same beach house on the Outer Banks of North Carolina. They're 44 years old. We then see them again at 49, 54, and 77. And it's about friendship and love and living.
So are you literally through this performance doing makeup changes?
Yes.
Makeup and wigs.
Are you doing your own makeup? Theatrical makeup? Mm-hmm. Oh, see,
yes,
I think a lot of people don't realize that in the acting profession world, those who take it very seriously do learn the craft of what it is to be able to do your makeup through these stages. And I think that's fascinating for our listening audience to know right there it's worth seeing the show. See the craft in that. To go through the ages and come back. And how can you do application that quickly?
We're getting faster.
they have 2.5 minutes when they have to go from 54 to 77.
Oh, wow. So some lines and a little...
Wig change.
Yeah.
Wig change, yeah. Some lighteners.
All right, well, we have tickets. That's wonderful. Okay, so you've been, how many shows now has this been for you to direct?
This is my 4th. Yeah.
Your 4th. And we know the Riverfront Playhouse. We're thrilled with where the Riverfront Playhouse is going, always bringing stellar performances. The Dixie Swim Club. Is it a comedy?
Yes.
Comedy and a drama.
Mm-hmm. Women, they're like going through the changes in life.
Right. Oh, yes.
Probably love, death, and all the things that happen with Cat changes.
Yeah. Lots of conflict between them, and then how they resolve them.
You know, they say men can come and go, but good friends last forever.
That's basically what we say too.
My husband's over here just typing away. Like,
go ahead.
Anyway, we do have tickets here.
There's so much estrogen in here. But frankly, my chest has grown.
Oh, my gosh.
If you like Steel Magnolias,
that's what it reminded
you're going to like this show. And it's sort of Steel Magnolias does same time next year.
Oh, that's a great visual and a great mix in wonderful shows. It's the Dixie Swim Club. We have tickets for Media Night Wednesday, July 16th. That's, gosh, believe it or not, that's next week. For the 7:30 p.m. performance, we'd love to have, you know, we always think the butts need to fill the seats. You really are very, I'm very adamant about the callers that take these tickets show up and support our local theater. It's very important. They need you. They need us to help it be a body of work. You know, the audience is as important as the work itself. Riverfront Playhouse, the Dixie Swim Club, give us a call this morning, 605-4567. That's 605-4567 for free tickets, 2 tickets for Media Night. That's Wednesday, July 16th. Let's cap the show. What does your role mean for you?
What does it mean for me?
Yeah, what's it doing for you as an actress?
Oh, well, I'm new to this acting thing. This is my second show at Riverfront, and I am just eating it up. I love it. And Jennifer is so great to work for. She just pulls out our best, really, all the way.
Oh, that's wonderful.
My biggest challenge is that Southern accent.
Oh, yeah, it's a real toughie, isn't it?
Well, once you master that, which I'm sure you have, it's something you'll just use the rest of your life.
Oh, I just can't wait to find out when I get to use
bless
my Southern accent.
Bless your heart. Is there any bless your hearts in there?
No, but there's a lot of y'alls.
There's a lot of y'alls, and there is one. I mean Ooh, that Lord. In the nicest possible way.
Well, you remember is that you can say anything to anybody as long as the end of it you say, Bless your heart.
With a smile.
And how about our other actor? I don't know. Do you guys like actress or actor? Does it matter?
Either one.
You know, some people say, I being an actor. And I'm thinking, well, what's wrong with actress? I don't know. Anyway, so for you as an actress or actor, what has your role meant for you?
It's a thrill working with this group of people. It's just a wonderful cast, a wonderful director, and forming the relationships, both in the play and away from the play, and just learning the craft. You know, it's all a wonderful learning experience.
This is your first time on Riverfront,
isn't it? This is my first time at Riverfront. Yes. Yeah.
Fantastic.
We have a couple like that.
So, again, Media Night, give us a call here. And that's what's great about Media Night is it is a selective night. And we are going to be giving our tickets away today to you for our caller, 605-4567. I think the phone lines are open. And, gosh, congratulations, break a leg and all that good stuff. How are rehearsals going?
They're over. Tonight is our last one.
Tonight's your last rehearsal. How's that feel?
Great.
So you blocked it, you've memorized it, it's ready to go.
Yep.
This is it.
You guys feel, I'm seeing confidence here.
They're wonderful. It's a wonderful cast. You couldn't get better. I hired five of the best Southern actresses I could find.
And like Laura said, we just enjoy each other on and off the stage. Mm-hmm. And Jennifer even saw that connection in rehearsal or in the audition. Yeah,
in audition. That's when I called them into auditions.
Were you friends before?
No.
I did know one person. There's a sisterhood that definitely happens when you do theater, I think. Mm-hmm. You're memorizing lines. You know that the other person has to have your back. Yeah. You're going through something that really is very, it's kind of, I don't know how to explain it. It's intimate in a way because you're giving of yourself and then you're depending on your acting partner in a scene or everybody else in that scene to follow through.
Exactly.
And good directing will help that. No glitches. Glitches you will not see. It's called the Dixie Swim Club. Saw your commercial this morning. Fun. And again, congratulations, gals.
Thank you. We'll see you there. Thank you. Bye, y'all.
Thank you for having us.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, Patrick Jones is going to, City Councilman Patrick Jones is going to join us. Today is overcast, but the weather says is that we're going to have a partly sunny with a high near 95, calm wind, becoming south around 6 p.m. in the afternoon. Red flag warning until 11 a.m. here in the valley. It's going to be higher up in the mountains. Red flag means we're going to have thunderstorms. We've got lightning already. We've seen lightning going from the sky to ground, so there could be fires. Red flag warning until 11 a.m. and about 30% chance of rain. We had a little rain this morning. So, Carl Linda Bott, KCNR, 1460.
Hey, this is your pipe talking. Don't put that baby wipe down the toilet. Didn't you know that disposable doesn't always mean flushable? Cleaning wipes and baby wipes do not dissolve and get stuck in poor old sewer pipes like me. And I get backed up. Please, throw used wipes in the trash so I can continue to breathe and not clog your sewer pumping equipment. You know the cost to hire a plumber to unclog me typically ranges from $75 to $350? And that doesn't include the time it takes you to clean up the sewage that may have backed up. So pass the word on to everyone who cleans your home or business, too.
Be kind to your plumbing and remember, wipes clog pipes. Throw used wipes in the trash. In addition to wipes, kitchen grease, kitty litter, plastic, and latex items can all clog pipes and should be bagged or contained and placed in the trash. A public education project by Reading Municipal Utilities. For questions or more details, call 224-6068.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny. My wife Judy and I want to say thank you. Thank you for blessing us with such wonderful friends and business. We love being a part of such a great community here in Shasta County. Every day the people we meet and the chance we have to help each and every one of you makes us proud. We look forward to being there when you need us, wind or rain, sun or shade. Shasta Gas Propane, family owned, family operated. For safety, service, and savings, give us a call at 365-3793. And once again, thank you.
Pardon me, lad. Where would you say a lucky Irishman like myself could get a nice cold one? Maybe you'll find me a lucky lady.
Oh, not to worry, young lad. I myself is from the lucky land of Ireland. Come with me. There's only one place in Reading where the Irish tradition lives on.
The party is always on downtown at Shameless O'Leary's. Shameless invites you down every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for 3 for $3. Three drink specials for $3. Like $3 20-ounce Coors Lights, and you call it on all Smirnoff drinks.
Oh, Danny boy, I reckon that's a hat trick.
Over 100 whiskeys behind the bar, and Jameson on tap. $3 drinks every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night downtown.
Oh, Danny boy, the people love the food down here.
The corned beef Reuben, the shepherd's pie, and the black and tan onion rings. And don't forget about Shameless every Sunday morning for brunch with a build-your-own omelet bar. Come party downtown at Shameless O'Leary's, where it's always a good time.
You'll come for the food, but you'll stay for the cheer.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. Good morning, Savannah. Grab that microphone, Savannah. Thank you. Savannah's over there. Her little fingers are moving like little blurs of lightning over there. She's reprogrammed the whole computer for this morning. In between while she's listening to music and putting all of our stuff on. So, you know, Savannah, thank you.
It's a good training day.
It's a good training day. Good, because we're having training days next week for everybody, this one. Yeah, it's going to, I realized Bob didn't realize he was going to be laying flat on his back where he is right now. It kind of caught us a little bit today. But you got it all fixed, so we're good. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Estate Jewelry, this is where Linda goes to buy her jewelry. Trish Clark goes to buy her jewelry. Many people go to Leonard to buy their jewelry. And there's a reason for it, because he's so good. And he has great prices, he's fair, and he's going to tell you the truth. Not only that, but he got the only watch repair guy in the whole area. So if you need a watch repaired, no matter where you take it, it's going to end up at Four Winds Jewelry. 2225 Hilltop across from Sierra Gibbs. Give them a call, 222-2750. A full-service jewelry store providing the finest selection of jewelry in Northern California. Patrick Jones.
You've got to love computers, Carl.
I tell you what. You know, and Linda, after she got her new 6 level. You're on. The new 6 iPhone. I inherited her 5. And I'm in here looking at it, and I'm going, okay, oh, this seems like a good idea. This seems like a good idea. You know, and then all of a sudden, some voice is saying to me, how can I help you? And I'm like, you can't. I don't understand you. Oh, good. So I finally turned that off. Savannah comes in, though, and she's our link. Where I'm the missing link of technology. Maybe you and I are. Hey, you came in here for a reason. You're going to be on, starting next week, we've got everybody that's running for city council is going to start Monday through Monday. We've got 6 candidates that I know of. And so Monday we're starting off with Mike DeQuisto, Tuesday with Kristen Schrader, Wednesday with Brent Weaver, Thursday with Francie, Friday with you, and then Monday, because the newest, is Mike Quinn the following Monday. So, but you're not in here to talk about that. You're here to talk about crime.
Yeah, you know, and Carl, and first, thank you for having me on, and really appreciate that. And then thank you for having all the candidates on. There's no other station around that you can find that type of information. So important to the public to know who they are going to elect. So that's important. That's a great next week to tune into. But all this week you've been talking about crime, and I think everyone has seen an increase in crime. And the sad part is most likely that 50% of the crime is not even being reported. So the actual amount of crime that happens is far greater than what we're seeing. And what we are seeing, at least in the paper from what we do get reported, is way more than we're used to, way more than we're comfortable with, and we have to do something different. Now, on council, as you know, Carl, and you've attended plenty of meetings.
Not plenty. I can only take so much abuse, you know.
But you know that one council member can't do anything on their own. It takes at least 3 at City Hall to get anything done. So on Tuesday night, we have our next city council meeting, and I always encourage people to come forward with any issue within the city's jurisdiction to come forward and speak. You've got 3 minutes now at the end of a council meeting instead of at the beginning, but nevertheless, you have 3 minutes to come and speak, and people really should be coming and speaking about the criminal activities that are happening within their neighborhood, because it's not only an increase in violent crime, but it's also an increase in property crime.
Most people don't want to wait till 9 or 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock to talk about it. If they could talk about it at the beginning of the council meeting to say, "Hey, look, we're having problems here, and here's the problems that I see." But if you have to wait till that late, I mean, that means you're out there with the bad guys.
You know, and so over the last year, we've attempted to do several things that did not get council support. One of those things I'm going to bring back up on Tuesday, and that's a citizens patrol where we use our old squad cars instead of selling them surplus. We retain those units and have volunteers run in the middle of the night. Now, I've really felt that there was merit to that. And I believe by having a higher level of presence here and utilizing the volunteers, the budget right now cannot stand to have new officers hired at the cost that public safety officers are. We cannot do that. We have increased cost in pension costs, and those are going to be escalating over the next few years. But what we can do is tap in a great resource of our volunteers and use our old squad cars to do that. Now, that means that these volunteers, they're not even going to get out of the vehicle, Carl. They're simply going to be eyes and ears on the ground.
Okay, so you'd envision that because when this has been brought up before, there's all this great liability. What happens if people shoot at the police car, which sometimes that happens, I guess. And, you know, there's all these questions like that. Are these all going to be answered?
They'll all be at least discussed addressed and talked about. But other cities do this, Carl. So this is not new. This is not a new idea. But it's clear that we need a higher level of presence on our streets, and no better way to do it by utilizing volunteers and our old squad cars that we really don't get much value back on when we sell them at surplus. We can retain those vehicles, keep them here, and use volunteers. Now, I know this becomes an issue for the unions. The public safety unions feel that this takes a job away from the sworn officer, and it really doesn't, because we can't afford any more than what we have today. We're struggling to keep what we have, to be honest. As you know, Carl, 65% of the general fund is public safety. And so 65% for both police and fire, the lion's share of our general fund is been eaten up with those two areas because they are expensive. We need to start doing something different.
We need to start thinking out of the box, Patrick, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but you're right. We need to do something different. And you know, frankly, I think the people of this city and this county deserve a vision out there saying it. You know what? And there should be no plan that's off the table. No plan too hard to do. No plan that's, we haven't done it like this before, or you know what, there could be a problem here. I've got comments right here in the chat room. The only problem with citizens on patrol is the level of criminal and violence out there. At night in marked cars, someone is going to get hurt. The liability of the city would be unbelievable.
Well, again, that's someone's opinion. They're well entitled to it.
But I'm saying this is the kind of things you're going to hear.
And that really isn't the case any more than what we have today with private citizens and security companies doing the same type of work today. We have those types of companies out there, Securitas, North State, and they do just what we're talking about, a vehicle that cruises different neighborhoods and puts a higher level of presence at various locations. And we're going to try to minimize any contact with the public by keeping that person inside the vehicle and just simply putting eyes and ears and lights on the ground.
What about hiring the security companies to do that?
Well, I'm not totally opposed to that either, and the cost savings there can be tremendous. We need to start thinking differently, but we need a higher level of presence. We need to push these people along and let them know that our city is not open for business when it comes to crime. And that's what's happening today. And I think if you take a look, you'll see that a lot of activity is happening between, say, midnight and 4 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And we need a higher level there at that time.
I'm 100% in agreement with you. I want to see something happen. And whether it's if it's in a patrol car, which could, you know, I see a lot of drawbacks, but I see a lot of pluses too, because a lot of the vermin out there are like rats. When you hit them with lights, they run away. So if they see something like that, they'll at least move.
And not only
the
is
security,
it
a security car moving around all the time that we're paying, you know, the company to have security guys in all the areas of the city, because those guys are trained to a certain level. They're not going to be getting in shootouts. Is another possible answer, though.
Well, and if you notice with the private security companies, you haven't been seeing them in shootouts and those types of things.
No.
Because, again, they know their role.
That's
when
right.
They see suspicious activity, they call that in.
Yes.
And that's exactly what we're talking about with volunteers. Now, other communities in our local areas, Carl, already do this. They already do this. So we're simply not doing it. We need to start doing something different. This is not the first time this is brought up, but it's going to be brought up again on Tuesday. I'd like people to come forward if they like that idea. If they have concerns or questions about it, certainly come forward. We can discuss all those issues. I want to see that, and again, this is going to be in an item number 12 now, I believe, where discussing things for future council meetings. So I'm going to bring this up. If we can get a consensus, which is at least three members of council to support discussing the idea, it will go on to the very next agenda for next month. And that's what I'm hoping for, is I hope we have three council members, two others than myself.
At least to discuss it.
To discuss the possibility of having a citizens volunteer patrol utilizing our old squad cars. And I think it's a good idea. Again, Carl, this is not the first time that it's been brought up. Or we could simply do exactly what we're doing today, which, as we know, is not working.
You're right. And the other problem that I see, or other concern, is even if you have a security company doing this, is the length of time it takes to get police on the scene. Sometimes it's hours. Other times it's after assaults right downtown. It's over 30 minutes. Our reaction rate, because of the because whatever else is going on, a reaction rate to getting police there. That's another question.
The idea here, Carl, is that when you have eyes and ears on the ground, you're going to see a reduction in crime. So this is a tool to stop crime from happening before it happens, and that's where the value is. Certainly, with manpower the way that it is today and staffing that's low. And we are low in staffing with police. There's no question about it.
Yeah, we are.
We need more. The budget cannot handle more. That's where we have to be tough negotiators to make sure that we can live within our means and make sure that we can handle our pension obligations and our retirements. And so this is an issue where I think we can really utilize volunteers. Very, very worthwhile idea. It's been run up the flagpole before, and you see it did not move forward. I'm looking towards this as a low cost, not a solution, but an increased measure to help our city.
Well, you know what? I'm all for all ideas being out there, and I hope that the problem is that with the way that the city council is set up now, since you can't say anything at the beginning, right?
That is correct.
Okay, can't say anything at the beginning. Can you say anything when they're talking about? Okay, here's the question that we're going to bring up. Can you talk about that? Item number 12. Okay, is there comments? Public comments?
Yes, you can comment.
But the open comment, the public comment is gone. I mean, well,
it's at the end of the meeting.
And how many people hang around for that?
You know, today, not many now, because the problem with moving it to the end of council meeting, I didn't support that. I knew exactly what it would do. I stressed to my colleagues, do not move the public comment period to the end. They did it anyways. And again, as you know, Carl, one or two council members can't do anything at City Hall. Three is the magic number. Yeah. They moved the public comment. Three council members moved the public comment to the end to quiet down certain folks that came continuously to City Hall and spoke of certain issues. And today, the reason why you're going to get less participation in the public comment period is because it's of an unknown time. That's at the end of the council meeting. We have no idea when that's going to be. That could be at 7:30. It could be at 9. It could be at 10. It could be at 2 o'clock in the morning,
right.
And so you're going to have to wait around for that. For people that work or older folks that are retired that don't want to travel that late, or anybody that doesn't want to travel that late, this becomes a serious problem. And we knew that, but yet they did it anyway. So I just asked.
Well, I'm going to ask Francie, because Francie voted for that. I'm going to ask Francie about that.
But we can we need to at least bear through that for a little while until I think we can get it changed. And I mean, I'm going to try to change that in the future.
Didn't they say that after the election they were going to change it back?
Well, politicians say a lot of things, Carl.
That's true. Boy, have I heard a lot of things in 5 years, Patrick.
I can
Okay. Patrick Jones, Reading City Councilman, he's running for re-election, but he's talking about an idea to put more cars and eyes on the streets.
And I appreciate you having me on, Carl. I just wanted to get this out to the public so they can come and speak to it.
Let me say this. Anybody that's got an idea, let me throw this out here. Anybody that's got an idea for combating crime has got a voice here. If you're running for office, that's great because, you know, maybe that's something they can do. But if you're Joe average citizen and you've got an idea and you say, well, gosh, I don't even know how we can get this. Come on in. How do we fight crime here? We're up to our butts in alligators.
The nice thing about this idea, Carl, is that it's already been done before. It's really not a new and creative idea. It's already been done. So in that regard, it's a low-cost situation where we can help reduce the amount of crimes, and I think it's very much necessary today. And we'll be discussing more issues later on, but this is the next one coming up on Tuesday.
Okay.
I appreciate you having me on, Carl.
All right. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Carl and DeBott, KCNR, 1460.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Thanks to everybody who helped out with the junior livestock sale. Meantime, back at the salt mine, we're filling propane bottles, one right after another. That keeps Gary hopping. Robin and Corning is very busy with all the farmers and ranchers, so stop in and say hi. She loves our customers. In Weaverville, stop and see Diana. She is selling a lot of red and clear diesel and can fill your motorhomes and barbecue bottles. In Redding, we got another truckload of ethanol-free 93 and race car fuel. If you're one of us that's been blessed with new diesel trucks or pickups that take DEF urea fluid, give us a call. We have small jugs and big totes and can save you money. Johnny's back from cattle college, so if you're thinking of upgrading your heater, now's the time. Give him a call and talk about the new or used heater. Northern Lights Energy, small business, family owned. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Hi, folks. Bob Dunlap, Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. If you've served in the active duty of the armed forces and are impaired because of an accident, injury, or exposure to hazardous substance, you may be eligible for compensation from the Department of Veterans Affairs. The compensation program is your country's way of honoring your service and sacrifice by providing financial assistance to bridge the gap between what you are able to earn now and what you could have earned if you were not impaired. VA compensation claims could be as simple as a hearing loss claim to a very complex muscular, skeletal, or neurological disorder. Be wary of individuals who offer assistance with your VA claims, especially those who ask you to pay for VA claims assistance. Your Shasta County Veterans Service Office is here to help. We're accredited, and there's never a charge for our services. For more information on how we can help, please call us at 225-5616.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Good morning, Reading.
We're not going to take it anymore, are we?
Hey, right in on
Welcome
that beat.
By.
It's currently 75 degrees in the downtown studios of KCNR. Partly sunny today with temperatures around 95. Now, there is a red flag warning till 11 a.m. with 30% chance of rain. Mostly clear tonight with temperatures around 68. That's the forecast anyway. Tomorrow, it's getting up to the triple digits again, 101. That's the forecast for tomorrow, Saturday night, with lows of 71, and Sunday with 104. Weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends, locally owned and operated. Give senior and veteran discounts, 365-3793.
It's just been such an exciting morning.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about Zoom.
Bad Bob came in. It's usually his day off because last night at midnight, our computer that does all the programming for the whole station completely repopulated the whole every show with blanks. So that's what started with this morning with our news, and he's trying to repopulate it at the same time to give the news. Savannah's in here, and then Bob just came in, so we're actually reprogramming the computer on the fly as we're doing the show, and it's working because our guys are so good. But here we're joined by Josh Domke and Michael Maharo, and we're talking about a fundraiser
that's happening today.
That's right, and it's a great fundraiser put on by our friends at Real Living. Real estate professionals, and it's going to be an open house barbecue. And what's it for, Josh?
It's to support Living Hope. That's Mike's gig here, but everything, 100% of it, it's all going to Living Hope to help them out.
Okay, Mike, tell us about Living Hope.
Well, Living Hope is a nonprofit down in downtown Reading. We are a resource center for low-income families and individuals. We provide an array of services. We mostly are looking for folks that are ready to make the change, and for folks that are willing to do for themselves as well, and we want to be that stepping stone. We have a nonprofit bike shop where we do free bike repairs for low-income folks and kids in the community. One of our most recent events were the Whole Earth Watershed. We did 40 bikes for some kids that otherwise, couldn't afford one.
For
children and for adults. So we also help folks that are looking for transportation to get to and from work. And we do low-cost bikes for folks, and then we also do the free repairs. So some of the other stuff we do is we have The Shack, which is a nonprofit pop-up restaurant that is actually this Sunday from 4 to 6 at the Stirring. And we basically train folks. We do a lot of voc rehab, retraining people in a certain industry, and then we try to traverse them into mainstream marketplace with some of our partners that we have. So
you're taking people that have been on the dole, we might say, and you're trying to get them back into society, become active participants.
Absolutely. So consumers and producers.
When you say ready to make the change,
then we are looking for folks that, not everybody is ready to do the things necessary to get out of their situation. There's a lot of folks that are just really stagnant and not necessarily, loving their situation, but aren't ready to do the things necessary to get out of them. And so for us, those folks that are ready to do those things, we want to make sure that we're the catalyst for that. We want to make sure that there is something there for folks that, like, hey, I am done with all this old, and I want to be productive in life again. I want to be a member of this society. I want to be, a positive thing instead of, maybe a drain or
right.
a negative.
And how do you find, do they come to you? Do you have outreach programs where you find people to say, hey, let's work with you to help maybe educate or help motivate to have pride and maybe, I don't want to say ambition but that's the word that comes to mind, to rise up.
Yeah. One of the things that we do is that we have a food pantry as well in Reading, and it's much different than any other food pantry. We were here a couple months ago, and we talked about it with Claudia Mosby. And so one of the differences is that we use that as a platform as well. So it's not just – it just begins with the food, but then it begins with other things. So what happens is that – which is a much different thing, too, to begin with. So we have the food co-op, which we actually charge for our food, which is completely different. Josh and I were talking about this a moment ago, that the difference is that for us, like, to break this poverty cycle, and this, like, I'm just kind of describing this platform a minute for you, but the people come in, and there's an exchange between two people. People are pulling out their money, and their kids are seeing this now versus them just sticking their hand out and somebody sticking something in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then so for us, that's huge in breaking the poverty cycle for
The kids are seeing is that, hey, guess what? Money means that you can do this, and the way you get money is by working.
Absolutely.
Not just something that the government hands you.
Absolutely. And they also see them working. So part of our food co-op, too, is that you're unloading the truck, you're sorting the food, you're wiping down the tables, you're mopping the floors afterwards. Everybody is vested. And so with that platform that we have, we also, take folks and say, hey, like, who is anybody looking for a job? We will help you do a resume. We'll help you do some mock interviews. Somebody that might have a skill set that is just totally ready to traverse in the mainstream marketplace. I may, call one of our friends. We have tons of friends that have different industry in Shasta County. And so I have a buddy in the lumber industry, and I'll say, hey, I have a guy who's a framer. He would, he's ready. This guy is ready. And we do a lot of screening. We usually actually have them volunteer for a little while, and then we will actually employ them. And it may not necessarily be the field that that they want to traverse into, but at least it's like, hey, they showed up every day on time, they weren't drinking, they, you know, they, their code of ethics were great, they were,
they didn't steal things,
they didn't steal things, they got along well with others, and so for us that begins the process. And so we, you know, we've traversed a lot of people in the mainstream marketplace, not necessarily in the same field that we were training them in.
Yeah.
But
how successful are you, Mike?
You know, I don't think we're that successful, unfortunately. If you look at the success rate, I don't want to say it's – I'd be totally lying if I said, oh, man, we have like thousands of people that are just totally successful every single year. But then you look at success in a different you know, perspective. And I think that we are very successful. I think
maybe ten a year is a success.
Maybe if about 15 to 20, I would
that's
say.
Fantastic.
I'm just saying even 10. So yeah. I'm not trying to pin you down because I was looking at more trying to get numbers out, seeing how many people you helped a year, trying to help.
Well,
but if you take one person and you help them and they're off subsistence and they're actually working and have a job and it breaks that cycle, their whole family is helped.
Who knows what the ripple effect looks
the
like?
Ripple
you know
effect.
What? That goes way out there. Yeah. You know, because like you're right, they see it, the kids see it.
Yeah.
Hey, this is what we can do, and guys, this is what happens when you work. So I'm not. Yeah, I am so much against. I'm not against helping people that are really working hard and they're trying, but people that have just say, just hand it to me, just give it to me. I don't care, and then I'll
I don't need
beg.
To work. I get $782 a month.
I make more money
if I have a kid
from subsistence and the government than I can if I work at a minimum wage job. I mean. I have no respect for that, but people are trying.
We are very progressive in that slide where we are. You know, we are getting away from the entitlement. We're the first food distribution like that on the West Coast. Some folks disagree with it. How dare you charge homeless people or people in poverty $3? And I'm like, I am not charging for the food. The $3 is for dignity. You would be so surprised like how people respond to that, where the shame is lifted because they aren't just getting something for free. There's an exchange.
I don't think people realize. You've broken the code, and Josh, you're in here too, and thank you so much for what you all are doing with this. The code is this, is working is good.
Absolutely.
Taking things from the government for free is bad. And so, you know, if that comes across to people, then that's a success and moving forward with this. And you're having people, you're having bringing pride back. A job brings pride. Pride means there's less problems at home. The whole thing, if there were jobs, domestic violence drops, all this stuff drops.
Right. So. And you were asking him about numbers and whether it's like 1 or 10 maybe that he might place in a job is one thing. But what Mike was telling me earlier is that, you know, there might be 500 people that are on the brink of becoming homeless that they're really, you know, if they were not there, if Living Hope was not there, that might just push them over the edge. You know, they're people that are trying.
That's
just
great.
Getting by, and, you know, it's
okay. Now we're running a little bit short here on time. So let's talk about what you're offering today. We're going to have a barbecue.
Yeah, that's at our office at 1647 Court Street, right on the corner across the street from the jail. Yeah. And we're offering dinner. You know, there's going to be hamburgers.
Is that a cross street right there? It's Court Street.
And Placer.
Yeah,
we're right on the corner. Big brown building with all the rock work.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We know where
that's
at.
We pass there every day. We live
I just want to make my
by.
Turn right
apparently,
there.
Apparently, yeah. I need to work on our signage.
No,
well,
I mean,
it's pretty.
And you all redid the, you all redid the building and all that. I mean,
yeah.
It's nice. It looks nice. Like to put KC&R,
nice
put a KC&R sign right there.
Yeah. So,
can we talk about that?
Yeah. We might be able to switch.
Okay.
Anyway,
today.
This makes my heart feel good because what you're doing is you're saving souls. I feel that there's darkness when you don't have a way out. You can't think of a way out. You fall down. And you start to – you get into it. There's an easy pattern where a lot of people live in a gray zone or a dark zone, and you're – this is a way your organization is showing people or helping people to rise again, to rise out of that and have like a light, a feel like a lightness in their being. And that does ripple effect. That's a ripple effect, and that will pass on to other people.
Right. And that's what, you know, it seems to be a kind of a hot topic lately. And I think a lot of people want to help and they need to help and they don't know how to help. And that's kind of where we were. I mean, we wanted to do something for the community to help kind of make things better. And so we went through Living Hope. We found Mike, and I just asked him, what do you need? And he said, I need money. I need to help, you know, money to operate. So that's where we are.
So today on the corner of Placer and Court Street at the Real Living Real Estate Professionals, right there in the corner, it's for $6 donations, get you a dinner. They've got hamburgers, hot dogs, all types of sides there to put with it, and beverages. Got raffle prizes, all of these things. It starts at 4 p.m. and goes to 7 p.m., though I think if people are still driving in at 7, you're probably still going to serve them and take their money, right?
Sure.
Or you can just give – can you give Mike a call and say, I want to donate to Living Hope?
Absolutely.
Okay, how do they get a hold of you?
They can go to our website, livinghopereading.com, or they can give us a call at 243-8066.
Okay. Josh Domke, thanks for your service. There you go. Semper Fi.
Thank you. Semper Fi.
Mike, thank you for what you're doing for our community. I really like how you're doing. This is something we can get behind.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
You bet. Okay, everybody. Today, Real Living, Real Estate Professionals, corner of Placer and Placer and Court. $6 donations get you dinner, and it goes to a good cause. Hey, when we come back, Carol Ferguson, Managing Editor of Record Searchlight, is going to be here talking about the changes in the Record Searchlight.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. U.S. business economists have sharply cut their growth forecast for the April through June quarter in 2014 as the overall economy rebounds from what was a dismal first quarter. Here's SRN's Linda Kenyon.
A survey by the National Association of Business Economics found that economists expect, on average, growth of 3% at an annual rate in the second quarter. That's down from 3.5% in a June survey. Growth in 2014 as a whole will be just 1.6%. Sharply below a previous forecast of 2.5%.
That's SRN's Linda Kenyon. Secretary of State John Kerry in Afghanistan today tried to work out a compromise between the rival political factions, each of whom claimed victory in the recent presidential runoff election.
We obviously have high hopes that the questions about the election will be resolved quickly.
Kerry arrived pre-dawn in Kabul today on a hastily arranged visit. Air raid sirens in Tel Aviv once again today. The Iron Dome defense system intercepts rockets fired by the terrorist group Hamas, those sirens sounding frequently across Israel, and Israel forced to respond against the terrorist attacks, also launching some 1,000 strikes over the past 4 days. The immigration crisis on the southern U.S. border, an angry House Speaker John Boehner again blaming the White House for its policies, which he says are the cause.
Boehner not mincing words on who he blames.
This is a problem of the president's own making. He's been president for 5.5 years. When's he going to take responsibility for something?
As for the president's request for $3.7 billion to fight the problem, Boehner cautioned,
we're not giving the president a blank check.
The speaker said he expects the House will pass something this month.
And that report from SRN News congressional correspondent Wally Hines. At Wall Street, it's been a mixed day so far. The Dow currently down right about 26 points. And this is SRN News.
You have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
Pray. Pray for people you know who don't know Jesus. And get ready. Get ready for My Hope 2014 with Billy Graham. God worked powerfully through My Hope last year.
I submitted my life that night to Jesus Christ.
Now your church can be part of My Hope 2014 this fall. It features a new message from Billy Graham. Pre-order the DVD today. Then help your church plan its own My Hope outreach because your church knows the best way to reach your community. Go to myhopewithbillygraham.org.
Germany took the dramatic step on Thursday of asking the top U.S. intelligence official in Berlin to leave the country following two suspected cases of American spying and the year-long dispute over eavesdropping by the National Security Agency. White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest had very little to say about it yesterday.
Any sort of comment on any purported intelligence activity would place at risk U.S. assets, U.S. personnel, and United States national security. So I'm just not in a position to comment on it.
He did say this much, that the administration is well aware of the controversy and dealing with it.
The strength of our national security relationship with Germany is important to American national security. It's also important to the national security of the Germans. That's why we have this open dialogue with them on a variety of channels to resolve the situation.
And the move by Germany reflects growing impatience in that country over U.S. spying. This is SRN News. The much-anticipated international debut of the military's new high-tech fighter jet is in limbo as officials scrambled to determine the cause of the fire that grounded the aircraft last week.
On a visit to the Air Force Base, where many of the F-35 fighter jets are based, Defense Secretary Hagel met with the pilot who escaped the fire. It's the latest stumble in the military's most expensive fighter jet program. The entire F-35 fleet is grounded as investigators tried to determine why the aircraft burst into flames June 23rd. As it was about to take off on a training flight.
That is SRN's Rich Thomason reporting. U.S. Capitol Police will not face charges in the fatal shooting of a woman on Capitol Hill last year. A months-long investigation by the Justice Department concluded that officers did not use excessive force when they shot and killed Miriam Carey. More details at SRNnews.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 8:06 in the morning today, July the 11th. Oh, gosh. You know what? Bad Bob came rolling through here on his day off. Savannah had it. Savannah was her little fingers were moving like crazy. And Bad Bob came in, and between them, they recalibrated the whole computer. So thank you very much, Bad Bob, for coming in. Phone lines are 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Good morning, everybody. Let's go to our friends at Wells Fargo Advisors, Susan Eastman. Good morning, Susan. What's happening?
Good morning, Carl, and good morning, everyone. While major averages remain mixed after an hour and a half of trading, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 31 points at 16,884. The S&P 500 is down fractionally at 1964, and the NASDAQ Composite is up 8 points at 4,404. Active stocks this morning, Bank of America down 11 cents, trading at 1533. General Electric up a nickel at 26 and a quarter, and Ford positive 12 cents at 1742. For local stocks of interest, Target down 15 cents, trading at 59.78. Best Buy off 17 cents at 30.32. Bank of Commerce down 3 pennies at $6.34. In the bond department, the 10-year Treasury note is price yield 2.55%. And for commodities, gold is down $2 an ounce at 13.37. Silver off a penny at 21. And crude oil down a dollar, trading at $101 a barrel. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
Thank you, Susan. And we'll be back with Wells Fargo Advisors this morning at 9:05. And, you know, what's happening on Wall Street? They'll be able to tell you exactly in that moment what's going on. And that's what we love about live radio. With us this morning as well, speaking of live, what's happening on Friday, we have brought back our tip of the week from Adamson's Peak Performance. Good morning, Eric. And what's happening?
Good morning to you. Well, with the Redding heat finally kicking in, we were thinking proper hydration is paramount. So before you head out to the lakes or the river trail, make sure you're drinking at least 20 ounces of water or more, depending on how long you'll be out in the heat, with a daily goal of half your body weight in ounces. And just remember, a hydrated body is a healthy body.
Exactly, Eric. And from what I've been understanding, that there's studies saying now that, what's that, the disease, what happens when you forget things? What's that called? Oh, Alzheimer's.
Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
That disease for, oh, what's the name of it?
Yeah, it's the name of it. Okay, so if you drink a lot of water, they're saying that there is kind of a correlation with Alzheimer's and being not having enough hydration.
Absolutely. You know, there's a correlation with most health issues, but especially Alzheimer's. To keep the brain sharp, you want to have just a well-nutritioned body in general, but a huge part of that is hydration, with light to moderate exercise. But people that stay in shape and eat healthy and drink water instead of soda, they just tend to stay sharp longer.
Well, thank you, Eric. And Adamson's Peak Performance, we're back on track with Adamson's, and what's happening is that we've got our staff turned on to coming into Adamson's with their brand new building on C Street. They have so much going on with skinny jeans and fitness programs. It's our gym of choice, and we love it. So, Eric, we'll be looking forward to you every Friday morning doing your tip of the week.
Hey, thank you so much.
Hey, Eric, do you have a class called Medium Jeans?
We're working on it.
How about slightly larger jeans? Something like that?
You know what? For you, I will create it.
Okay, thanks a lot. All right. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Espresso Joe's with coffee, iced coffee, you name it, they have it. E-cigs of all kinds, flavors, everything. And, of course, all veterans are always getting discounts at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Okay. We're on our way. Carol Ferguson.
Good morning.
I know Linda's looking at me. She goes, you just had
health.
Well, you know what? Tobacco and Brew is a great place. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah, I'm having a nice coffee right now.
Yeah, so
let's go back. A record searchlight. And we have a brand new face with us this morning. I'm very excited about this segment.
Carol Ferguson, who is the managing editor.
Yes.
And Carol's been here with me before on occasion, but we want to have kind of a regular dialogue with the Record Searchlight because, frankly, without a paper, you're not a city, is the way I look at it.
Yes.
You all have such a huge impact on this community, even if the things I read in here every so often is, you know, you all have, you know, can get both sides upset with you. So it must be you're doing something right.
We're doing it right if both sides are thinking we're doing it wrong.
All right. So I'm tuning into the radio, 8 o'clock on a Friday doing an errand. Carol Ferguson, managing editor of the Record Searchlight. Tell us a little bit about your history.
I'm originally from Modesto, grew up there. And then went to college in the School of Visual Arts in New York City, then came back to California because it's really hard to leave California. And then spent most of my career down in Southern California and then moved up here in 2008 to be the managing editor. So been in newspapers since 1991 and reporter, editor, copy editor, did the whole gamut.
Fantastic. So now you're in Reading. How are you liking it so far?
Oh, this is a great town. It's a fabulous town, especially for news. I mean, there's so much going on here. There's so much interesting things going on here, the dynamics in this town. In a paper this size, in a town this size, you can really dig really deep. In larger cities, you can kind of only gloss the surface of what's really going on. But here, you can dig a lot deeper in the issues, what's happening, who the people really are. It's a good place.
And you all are coming forward to talk about an in-depth study that you're doing or covering the homeless.
Yes, we're working on a project about the homeless right now. Jenny Espino and Andreas Furman are the two main journalists working on this. And they've been going out to the homeless camps and to South City Park and asking the homeless people, basically, who are you? Where are you from? How did you end up here? Why are you homeless? What's your life story? And what they're finding is that there is a lot of mental illness in that community.
You said earlier when we were talking a couple minutes ago that it's difficult even finding answers.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but when I say finding answers, it's because it's not that the questions are hard. It's where are you from?
Right. It's because they're so mentally ill. We've had a difficult time finding a good sampling of people who we can actually engage with on a certain level. Some are just so far in the depths of mental illness.
Okay, now let's – mental illness or drugs?
What happens a lot of times with the mentally ill is they'll self-medicate. So they'll self-medicate with drugs, which then creates a cycle where they end up in the legal system. And so because drugs are illegal, so now they're self-medicating, they're now in the legal system. What you find is that jails have become the new mental health or the new mental hospitals of this century. And in New York, it's something over 50% of them are mentally ill. And even in Shasta County, over 30% in our jail are considered mentally ill.
San Quentin, when I was talking to the prisoners there about the biggest change they've seen, they said it used to be criminals that come in here, bank robbers and things like that. Now he says 90% of it is drugs and alcohol related. So I guess you could say that's mentally ill. But I'd be interested when you're asking the question is that how many of them are just so they've just burnt their brains out on drugs. You can say they're self-medicating, but they've just burnt their brains. And let's take a break.
It's easy to burn your brains.
Yeah, but let's take a break here because we've got to take a break anyway.
And you hung around with people who smoke a lot of pot, then you just go, who are you? They just have, I don't care what you, I don't, I, people are going to be listening to this right now when I say this and they're not going to like it especially, but if you've been around people who smoke a lot of pot, they just are,
We'll be right back. Carl and DeBott, KCNR 1460, our guest Carol Ferguson, managing editor of the Record Searchlight. We're talking about an in-depth study they're doing on the homeless. And the problems that they're finding is getting a representative sample that can actually answer the questions such as, where are you from? We'll be right back.
Have you put your name on your to love and to take care of list lately? At the House of Conscious Living Yoga, we offer you a space for a well-deserved time in. You will be welcomed by the warmth and kindness of a yoga community here to make you feel safe and cared for. The House of Conscious Living Yoga is a place for healing. Our yoga mat will help you rediscover your own power to design your life in every way. Need to strengthen your body, calm your mind, or lighten your heart? You have come to the right place. Non-competitive, medically knowledgeable and safe, therapeutic and caring are just some of the words used to describe the House of Conscious Living Yoga professional staff. New to the studio? Receive your first 5 classes for only $25. Visit our website, consciouslivingyoga.com, for all the information you'll need to get started on your path toward a healthier, happier, more vibrant life. consciouslivingyoga.com, 246-7256.
Hey, Robert, nice to see you again.
Don, imagine you being here.
Yeah, 11 to 1 every Sunday.
Oh, man, this is the place to be, 11 to 1.
Why don't you join us? We have a good time.
I think I will. I think I'll do that every Sunday. It's so much fun.
It is, isn't it? We talk about all kinds of things here on our own community radio.
For the North State.
Remember, Sunday from 11 to 1. Join us on KCNR, 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Tune in to Sovereign Minds at a new time on Sunday at 10 a.m. right after We the People on AM 1460 KC. CNR.
Good morning. Welcome back to KCNR. There is a red flag warning until 11 a.m. And we have rain this morning, a scattered rain, which is fantastic. We love to smell that damp earth. It's going to be partly sunny today. Our highs are 95. Now, as we get into the weekend, it will be triple digits, 101 on Saturday, 104 on Sunday. The evenings are clear, and there's going to be just about 5 to 7 miles per hour of winds. But we do need to be aware of the red flag warning. Okay. Well, this is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
That's right.
This portion of the show is brought to you by
Alliance Heating and Air, though. I tell you what, it's hot. It's going to get hotter, and it's muggy now. 20 years in the service, Martin and his people here just provide outstanding service to all manners of cooling and heating systems. They offer warranties, guarantees, emergencies, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We use them. Bob uses them. Call 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org, Alliance Heating and Air. Carol Ferguson is our guest, managing editor of the Record Searchlight. Carol, we're talking about how you're doing an in-depth study of the homeless here in the city, since it is a huge problem we have, along with transients and all this. The city's doing, I think the police are out there also doing a study trying to find out the same things you all are, but you want to kind of be independent from them. We have questions in here that say, essentially, you know, when you say they're mentally ill, what's the definition of mentally ill?
Well, mentally ill is, I mean, you have various forms of mental illness. It's schizophrenia. It's bipolar. It's severe depression. It's, you know, the whole gamut of mental illness is out there. And the resources aren't there to help these people get the medication they need, and that will actually help them, and the support services to make sure that they can at least function in a place. We have to live. We do have some facilities here in the county, but it's very limited. The number of spaces are very limited. And if you're not getting that regular support or care, you're not going to be able to function well in society. And we get people calling who even have you almost call minor mental illness, although I don't know if there's anyone out there who's mentally always call it minor, but are able to somewhat function, who go to the county seeking help. And it can be a 6 to 8 month waiting list to get in to see a therapist. So especially if you're on Medicare or Medi-Cal, there's just this huge shortage of any sort of help. And so these people have not much to help them, so they end up on the street. And when they do get back into homes, sometimes they fall back out. And they get into the spiral of, like I was saying, with drugs and illegal drugs and more damaging drugs that don't help them, but at least help them feel self-medicated. And they come into the spiral, and then they can't get out.
Let's hear that, and we see it. If we go into the root of this particular situation, we go down to the root of when, I mean, there's mental illness in my family. I'm sure if everybody got real honest about it, you know, there was the crazy uncle or the crazy sister, or attempted suicides, or the list can go on.
Crazy producers.
Yeah. But my point is that as a community and as a family function, as our responsibility, if we start looking at early stages of kids, you know, there's a name for it now. Everything has a title. Oh, you're bipolar. Oh, you're – this never – 20 years ago, 30 years ago, we all know when we were in school, you just didn't have these titles like you do now. And I think that at one time we had a structure in our community where we had an expectation of don't be depressed, be up, let's go, let's exercise, let's smile, let's get going. And I think if we start working with our youth to not be in a place where, oh, they're just a druggie, because then that's the person who becomes probably forever on drugs, tweaked out, homeless, because they've started a cycle from a very young age. That's just one solution, I would think. I don't know if there's a what we need to do with the YMCA and community and that kind of thing.
There's some of that, but I think some people are born with a certain genetic pattern that's going to give them mental illness. Schizophrenia is genetic. It's not something that a good pep talk's going to get you over with. So I think that there's some people who, yeah, okay, get out of it. You know, you can start programming your brain to become depressed, and you've got to sometimes pull yourself out of that. But others, you're born that way.
Mm-hmm. Taking it kind of a different direction, but with our mental illness, as we talked about a little bit on the break, when the ruling and that put all the mentally ill people on the streets again, is it time to start? Is there a way to start taking people like this and putting them back in the institutions?
I think...
Is it time to do that? I mean, we've got
honestly,
so many.
I think so.
I mean, so do I.
But
I
think we need to do it differently than we used to. I mean, I guess the state hospitals were so horrible and so bad and all of that, that they were like, okay, it's better just to say the counties, you do smaller groups, because that was the whole thing. The counties were supposed to then step in and create these smaller group homes. But the money wasn't there. So what happens now is the money isn't there. They're just now out there. We're all now facing these ramifications. So what we need to do is find a more humane way to help them and help our society as well.
You can see a lot of balls going on right here. So do we have a caller?
But I want to finish up this thing first. So Mark, just hang on till we finish up on the mentally ill thing. The last part of this is when you're going and you're doing this study like this and with your people out there, there's been violence out there too.
Yes. We did have one of our staff members get assaulted by one of the homeless people who we were out. It was our photographer, and he was in South City Park, and he was taking pictures. And he was taking pictures of a person he had taken a picture of the day before. Things were fine. Man came up to him. Assaulted him, grabbed him by the shoulder, yanked the camera, dashed it to the ground, and destroying a lens. And we called the police. It took a while for them to get there, probably about an hour. And I don't know if a report was taken. We've called to see if
physical
we can get a report.
It was a physical assault.
Assault and property damage. And we've asked for the police report, but I don't know if one was ever made.
Okay, well, that's another subject. Is he going to call back, or is he on the line? He's on the line now. Okay, now we're talking about – now that moves us into crime. But let's take our phone call here. Good morning. Oh, he's gone? Oh, he's going to call back. I don't know. All right. I wanted to hold him off till we finish the mental illness thing there. Okay, so it sounds like to me is and what you're going to be saying is kind of what the article is going to be saying. We've got a real problem out there. What's the solution? Is there? Are we just reporting this? Are we coming out with maybe an idea? Or
this particular project is looking at the homeless from their point of view and asking them about the services that are available and asking them, hey, if there is a day center, would you go to it? If there was another kind of shelter, would you go to it? Do you want a ticket out of town? So we're trying to gauge a little more about their views of being homeless, why they are there, why they're here, and the services that are available to them. Do they feel it's enough? Do they use anything now? And would they use anything more? So it's not necessarily even looking at all the different solutions at this point. It's more of just from their point of view of what's there. And that's where we ran into the problem of finding the people who were
the ones that are coherent enough to answer that question. Yeah. Probably you could help. The other ones probably wouldn't know if we put them on a bus and sent them someplace.
Well, they probably know when they got there that something was different, yeah. But
well, if it's far enough away, they couldn't walk back. I know. It's cold. But, well, this is even scarier then. And are you getting a feeling of how many are out there?
Not particularly. I mean, we went to the camps behind Mercy Medical, that area back there, and we've been to South City Park. But we haven't gone to all the different little areas. And they tend to have certain areas that they will stick around. So the people who are in Mercy Canyon tend to stay there. But they will, during the day, go to various places. But that's where their home base is.
Well, then let's go to the something that your paper just today espoused is a homeless daycare center that says y'all are behind that.
Mm-hmm.
Putting people What kind of good would this do?
It could do a lot of good. First of all, during bad weather, it can get them a safe place to be. It can get them out of South City Park. It can get them services that they need. I do believe it will probably be voluntary, so it would have to be the ones who feel that they could get some service from there. I have a feeling that there's some out there who just will stay away. But the ones who could benefit from that would. I mean, they're talking about giving them some showers and some services and counseling and job help and trying to help them out.
There's organizations out there doing that now, though, right?
Right, but not a place where they can stay during the day. What happens is, as people go to the rescue mission at night, they come out during the day and hang out with South City Park, or they're living down in the canyon. So it's one of those things of, let's get our parks back, and let's give these people a safe, helpful place to be during the day.
They've tried this in other places. And some of them, maybe a couple have worked, but many haven't.
Right, but some do work. What happens, though, it's not going to get every single homeless person in there getting the services they need. In my hometown of Modesto, for instance, they have a day center. And what happens is, and this is where probably a lot of your listeners are concerned about, and a lot of people are, which is why they have not said where it's going to be yet. What happens is you have a day center. And so it becomes somewhat of a place for homeless to congregate. But then they will spill out into that area. So in my hometown of Modesto, they put one on this one street, and then also this really great family park where I grew up going to is now taken over by homeless because they come from the day center to there and back and forth. So you do end up with that issue, which is why this group has not wanted to say where they're even looking.
Why don't they put it in their church?
I don't know. Maybe they will. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right.
But you know
you're
what?
You're right. I will bet you $1 million right now. And I will. You know what? I don't know.
They're not saying where it is.
Well, they are in the Pilgrim Congregational Church, right? Frank Lloyd Wright. Now, do you think they're going to put it there? They've got the facilities.
Most likely not. But Well, and then also there was a church down in Ventura
County. You think she's
going
to put it at her house? Do you think why doesn't everybody in the church that they're behind is just volunteer to take a homeless home? Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But you're right. You see, I'm glad you brought it out like that, Carol, because there is a downside to this. Right now, when the sheriff heard about it, he just right away, wrong, because you have something like this, it attracts more. It's the old thing of, oh, here's another service to bring more homeless, more people that want things handed to them, more things to make their life easier coming into Shasta County.
It's hard to get to Shasta County. I mean, we're really isolated up here, so I don't think it's this whole thing of, no, I mean,
we're up to our butts in these people, so it can't be that hard.
Well, no, I know, but we're not, like, getting spillover from any other city. I mean, we're it. Reading is, like, it for this county as far as population and center. So that's
true.
Why you see more of it here and why it affects everybody, because we all come into Reading to shop. We all are come here, so we all see it. Whereas other places, you might have parts of town that you never go to, and that's where they all are. But here, it's Reading's it.
And you see them everywhere.
Yes.
I mean, there's no shortage.
And so what you have is the ones who would be seeking help, who would benefit from that, may come to the day center. Others may stay in the canyons. They may decide not to go. It's not going to be round them up and force them to the day center. It would be there for those who could benefit from it, and those may be the ones who then get out of homelessness. It's one part of a much bigger solution.
I'm going to have the Reverend on so she can talk to me about it.
Yeah.
You're doing a good job, but you're also...
I
understand. I understand. No, I've read what she said, and I've read what the articles have said. But the other part is exactly true. One, where are you going to put it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because the spillover is going to be tremendous. We're having so many problems downtown with crime and transients and homelessness right here, people going into places and doing horrible things in there, and it takes the police hours to get there. So putting another center here where it just is, I just don't picture that. I look at something like Living Hope, these guys that were just in here. These are people they're helping to make that transition. They're keeping people that are on the verge of homelessness
mm-hmm.
not be homeless. They're teaching they're giving them trade and things like that. I'm so beyond wanting to help them on that one. But when I see something like this, I question, as many people will, what's the end result of this? Even though that's, yeah, we take care of our fellow man.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to take a break. Carol Ferguson is our guest and from the managing editor of the Record Searchlight, and we'll be right back after these messages. Carl Lindebot, KCNR 1460.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing suds!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
The home of good health in Reading for over 30 years is Orchard Nutrition. You'll love Orchard's in-store deli, featuring no-nitrate meats and fresh roasted beef from the local Lazy 69 Ranch. Try their bakery fresh bread, and of course, there's organic produce washed in Orchard's purified water. A part of the Reading community for over 30 years, family-owned and operated for three generations, Orchard Nutrition is far more than a health food store. They're the North State Nutrition Experts. Orchard Nutrition, 221 Locust Street in Reading.
Often people say, once it's wrecked, it's never the same. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Is this true? Well, it depends on who repairs your vehicle. Some examples of our repairs that made vehicles better than new are a brand new 4x4 truck that pulled hard to the side, The dealer could do nothing because the frame did not match factory blueprints. A new sports car with steering pull. The dealer changed the alignment, then the tires, and then the tires and wheels. Nothing helped because the unibody was manufactured out of spec. A new pickup that sagged on one side. The dealer changed the springs, but that didn't change anything because the frame had a twist. A new luxury sedan with a 2-foot crack in the paint on the hood because the paint was too brittle. As you can see, we made these vehicles better than new. Imagine what our collision repair specialists can do for your car. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 8:33 in the morning. Our phone line is here, 605-4567. Please give us a call if you got a question for Carol Ferguson, our guest, managing editor of the Record Searchlight. KCNR 1460, we are streaming out on that. 71 degrees out there. We've got a red flag. Warning now because of the chance of fires with the lightning storms and thunderstorms out there. 35% chance of rain. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Right off Athens Avenue there. Discounts for seniors and veterans. Man's Last Stronghold. It's a great place to get haircut. It's the Cheers of barbershops. Our guest, like I said, Carol Ferguson, managing editor of the Record Searchlight. And we have a phone call from Mark. Good morning, Mark.
Morning, Carl. How are you?
I'm fine, Mark. You have a question for Carol?
Yes, I do. Good morning, Carol.
Hi, Mark.
One question I'd like to ask is, in your study, are you taking a look at the connection between the declining economy in the North State and the increase in alcohol abuse, drug abuse, homelessness, elder abuse, spousal abuse, and so on? Because I know that schizophrenia is probably not drug or alcohol-induced. However, psychosis is drug or alcohol induced, and that is an often misdiagnosed schizophrenia. And there's been a 400% increase in that in the last 10 years.
Yeah, you're correct on that one. The study we're doing right now is really focused more on the homeless from their point of view of whether they would use these services people are bringing up. That's what we're working on right now. These larger issues, yes, we've covered some of them in the past. We probably will, and we most likely will in the future. This is a huge issue, and I know even covering the mental illness aspect, we do plan to do more with that later this year. But you are correct. Drugs can induce a psychotic state, and then people will think, oh, my gosh, you have a mental illness when it's the drugs. But there's also the people who, you know, are mentally ill who are self-medicating. So it's two different things. But you are correct. And as far as the economy, yes, the economy has contributed to overall number of people who are homeless on the edge turning to drugs and alcohol. But that we'll be taking a much deeper dive into some of these issues later this year, too. Right now, this one particular issue is we're going out and actually asking the homeless, who are you? And would you use a day center? And why are you here?
I was also curious to know why the editorial board of the Searchlight is so dead set against an alternative and some form of economic change, which is the state of Jefferson. And I was just curious to know why the newspaper is just absolutely adamantly opposed to any discussion or any possibility of this occurring.
I think this is such a long shot and would be a poor state. I mean, you still have to face federal regulations. One of the things that a lot of people say about if we have a state of Jefferson is we can go out and mine and log and use our natural resources at will. And, yes, if you could do that, yes, you would have a very vibrant place. But you still have federal regulations that any state in the union has to recognize. So I think the drive to say, hey, California, we're up here, we're different, we want our voices heard, we want to be brought a big player at the table, too, is needed and it's necessary, and it can understand the frustration. But I think that putting all your efforts for creating a new state is not necessarily going to solve the problems. It's going to delay it. Because if all your efforts are into creating this new state, then you're not putting your efforts to, okay, how do we get a better voice right now? How do we solve these problems? How do we improve our economy with what we've got now?
Well, I think the interesting part about that is to put more effort into it is a little bit silly. I mean, for 50 years we've been putting effort into it, and it's resulted in absolutely no change. In fact, continued declines result from that. This state is a potential for dynamic and real change, and there is precedence to recapture use of natural resources if counties will simply exert the jurisdiction they already have with a state framework that will back them up. And the Western Lands Council, with nine western states, is actively engaged in that. And the state of Utah, in fact, has completed a bill where they're supposed to reclaim federal lands for beneficial use by the state at the end of 2014. But California refuses to look at that because they're okay with the progressive agenda. That's why we need a new state. That's why we need representation. I'm just surprised that the newspaper is dead set against this, quote, because it can't be done, or because you think it's too hard. I think that's the silliest excuse I've ever heard.
Well, point taken. That's where we are.
Okay, Mark.
All right, thanks a lot, Carl.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Mark. I think the other thing, too, is there's a lot of people interested in the state of Jefferson. Whether, you know, when Silas was on that day and he said it was too hard, and somebody called in and said, if that's the case because it was too hard, we'd still be speaking with a British accent. And he had the same answer you did. Well, you know, you're right. You know, we can't just say it's too hard. Otherwise, we'll give up on the homeless situation. We'll give up on fighting crime. We'll give up on all this stuff. So the question is what can we do to make it better in our part of the state, since it's not good now? So there's got to be, you know, I don't think anything should be off the table. Anyway, okay, so you went down. Some of my comments was that, you know, how you did it. And I said you had sent reporters out to the camps, asked permission to talk with them, and this is how you got it. Okay, let's talk about the new – I want to talk about crime and the record searchlight, you know, the illumination of crime too. But first of all, I want to talk about, you've got a new website, the way it looks, and you're still changing it. I've noticed that you've changed it out.
Yes.
For those of us with blogs on the record searchlight, you couldn't find it, but now you can. So
okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. So tell us about that. What was the reason for change?
Well, we needed to update our website. We were actually on a very older system that wasn't nearly as dynamic as what we could be. It was years behind. So, and it was slow. And we just needed to update. And also our corporate scripts, UW Scripts, was going to put all of its newspapers and all of its television stations on one system so we can share content much easier.
Uh-huh.
So this is the system that they chose and that we have adopted. And it's a cleaner look, and it's a little faster. But again, we asked them to do a lot of different things. The newspapers did. It was geared toward broadcast. And broadcast had certain needs, and newspapers have different needs. And so we've had to bring this system along to be a little bit more tied in with what newspapers need. So that's kind of what you're seeing, is this growth and figuring out the bugs right now, and bear with us.
Okay. The second part is crime in Reading.
Mm-hmm.
You're addressing the homeless, and the homeless and transients are part of the crime problem we're having, part of the problem with getting police to respond to things, including physical assaults. Is the paper going to start taking that on?
Well, with our Shaping Our Future initiative that I talked with you last time I was on here, that's part of it, is that public safety element and what people can do in their own neighborhoods to help clean up or you know, make it safer. So we're going to continue to look at that too, and what's out there and what people can do. What you're hearing out there are a lot of people saying, we've got to take care of this ourselves. The police are overstretched. They can't make it to everything. We've got to take care of it ourselves. But what does that look like? I don't think it looks like everyone going out armed and ready to engage in a gun battle. But I do believe that it looks like, okay, like the neighborhood that cleaned up their messy area behind their homes so that they could open it up so you could see who was trying to hide back there, so they would discourage them from hiding there. It's neighborhood watch groups. It's maybe having the city try to work with residents and organizations on what can be done to help make your neighborhood safer. It's Chris Hunt down here, downtown here, the officer who's going around telling people how they can use landscaping and lighting to make their businesses safer. It's those things that I think really need to happen. I don't think we can depend on law enforcement to carry all of it.
Well, law enforcement is there to take reports and to catch them afterwards. I mean, it's so rare that they're ever there when it happens. I mean, it's not their fault. I mean, their job is to kind of clean it up afterwards and then go find the bad guys. And I agree with that. But frankly, we've had 3 years of AB 109.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had an election for the, you know, primaries. Two people won that have been in the same positions now for years. And now we've got a city council race going. And I would hope that whoever's coming in here, and by the way, next week, Monday through Monday, we've got every one of the city council people running for city council is going to be on the show. And they're going to be asked about crime, because crime is now becoming the subject that everybody's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So I would hope that the record searchlight gets into that.
We will be.
Big time.
That is. When we do our election coverage, that's going to be a big focus of ours, too. Yeah. Like what you are. You're going to be asking them about crime. What are you going to
do about it? That's the first question. And then anything else after that falls into it. Because if I read the front page of the record searchlight, and I see we're the sixth in the nation for car thefts, and I see somebody else getting in a wheelchair getting stabbed as he's walking his dog, I'm going to think twice about coming here. So,
yeah.
And by the way, this portion of the show is brought to you by Bastiani Arms, located at 2539 Larkspur. In fact, John Bastiani has offered the guy that was stabbed in a wheelchair and the woman that was stabbed.
Front
page news on the record searchlight. Free concealed carry classes and a gun. He said he'd give them to everybody that needed it, except he can't afford that.
He and his wife are trying to put together to do this monthly.
Yeah, to do it so that it helps people out there. Anyway, he's located at 2539 Larkspur and is the firearm dealer of choice. He has all types of ammo. He's got ammo. He's got your favorite guns right there. You can give him a call at 222-8222. Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur.
And by the way, before we take our break, our condolences go to Joe and Shelley Levy. Joe's parents both passed away. This is the story of two people who were married for 70 years. His father passed, and 48 hours later, his mother passed. He's back. He just took a plane back. And although it's tragic, they hung on for each other, and there's beauty in this story. But our condolences go to the loss of his folks. And we want to take a break on that note. Thank you for being with us this morning. And we have 15 minutes left in our program. We'll be back, KCNR 1460.
Experience Lake Shasta like never before with a houseboat from Holiday Harbor. A houseboat is a fun and affordable way to relax with family and friends. Holiday Harbor has something for everyone, from personal watercraft to paddle boards, ski boats to towables, and so much more. Already have a boat? Bring it out and leave it in one of the Holiday Harbor slips. Food, supplies, or a little marine repair? Holiday Harbor has it. Staycation on the lake with Holiday Harbor. Holiday Harbor Resort and Marina, 238-2383 or lakeshasta.com.
Attention experienced caregivers or those with an interest in working with the elderly. Home Helpers is currently hiring compassionate caregivers. We work with elderly clients in their homes. All our services are non-medical, so past experience is helpful but not necessary. At Home Helpers, we value our caregivers and have many incentives. If you have retired and have 10 to 20 hours a week or are looking to make a job change, why not work with seniors and allow them the independence to remain at home? Our services include light housekeeping, transportation, preparing meals, medication reminders, and companionship. Schedules are available weekdays, evenings, weekends, and overnights. All applicants must pass a criminal background check and DMV screening. If you feel called to help seniors and are committed to providing a safe and wonderful experience for our clients, Home Helpers is interested in you. Please visit our website at homehelpers.cc or call 226-8350 for more information. Home Helpers is committed to helping all seniors age at home. Home Helpers, there is no place like home.
Yeehaw! Y'all come out to French Gulch on Saturday, July 12th.
Why?
because it's our fourth annual Old West Day out here in French Gulch. And it's going to be a hot time in the old mining town all day long. That's why. We're starting with a miner's breakfast just after sunrise, and at 10:30, the best rootin' tootin' down home parade you ever did see.
We even got ourselves a real stagecoach to ride in.
That's right. You can ride up and down Main Street and see all the Old West stuff and stop and pan for some gold if you want.
Will there be some good vittles, singing and dancing?
There's going to be more food and entertainment than you can shake a stick at. Plus, don't miss the Law Dogs, their high noon Old West shootout show right in the middle of Main Street.
I hear tell the French Gulch Hotel will be serving chicken and ribs from 5 to 8 p.m. with live music entertaining you and dancing till nightfall.
Y'all come out now, you hear? That's Saturday, July 12th.
For information, you can dial 227-2369.
Hello, this is Dr. Todd Royce, your downtown Reading chiropractor. Join me every second Saturday at 10 a.m. for Positively Healthy Radio. We discuss almost any health topic you can think of from a different point of view than a pill for every ill and a potion for every emotion. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Would you like to have more energy? Would you like to avoid the headaches, sicknesses, infections, and diseases that so many are seeming to get? We talk about all those topics and more every second Saturday. Join us at 10 a.m. on 1460 KCNR.
Back down. No, I won't back down.
Yeah, we won't back down. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Linda Bott, good morning. It is 8:48 in the morning, 71 degrees. And this portion of the show is brought to you by
Crackmaster Windshield and Repair. And you know, today's going to be 97, but we look at the forecast. I looked at our 10-day forecast. Saturday 104, Sunday 107, Monday 110, Tuesday 106. What happens with your windshield if you have a crack or you have a little ding in there when you're going from the hot cold, the hot windshield and the air conditioning? It can crack. We'll go to Jeff.
2 feet.
Located at 32 Master Windshield Repair. You can call him at 241.
I can just say the surface is on like current cars are such in the right spot. You're zooming in pretty well. Okay, we have people on the line. Terry, we're doing great, Terry.
if it's federal funds, yes.
Thank you.
elections. Have a great weekend. Remember, there's a good guy out there, just a bad guy. Here you.
I can do automatically. Did we go over, or did we come in? I'm not trying to test the clock issue again.